Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, the conflicts of our life are evidence that God's taking us to a new level, that God's elevating our life. Why would the enemy throw the kitchen sink at us in our lives? Why would he do that if he didn't sense there was sudden change that was happening in your life? We're going to another level in this life that we live, the life of God in Christ. And you know what? The devil's game plan is to take you out of your game, is to deceive you and, listen, reduce you from that kingdom level life that God has for you. You know, there's a natural life that we all can live. Man, you don't need Jesus. You don't need Jesus to draw a crowd. You don't need Jesus to do your business. You don't need Jesus to stay married. You don't need Jesus to raise your kids. People are doing it all over the place. But let me tell you, it's a sub-kingdom existence. It's a sub-kingdom place. God wants us to live a kingdom life. Let me tell you what that kingdom life is: promotion. Write that down. The kingdom life is promotion. It's increase. It's overflow. If you expect business as usual in your life, that's what you're going to get. And let me tell you, the law of diminishing returns, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Why do I stay married? It's not worth it. Why do I try to encourage my kids? It's not worth it. Man, your kids start taking on a it's not worth it attitude. Why would they try? Why would they attempt that? Let me tell you what we want to do. We want to raise kids who take a risk. We want to take kids that'll be risk takers. We want to raise kids that are ready for that sudden change and they'll take a shot in life. Man, I'm telling you, we want to raise kids to do that. But the devil tries to deceive our children into not trusting God and not believing God. Everything in your past is either taking you toward God or toward the world. And let me tell you, that massive sucking sound is toward the world. Here, come my direction. Come on, man. Man, you could cut a few corners. Man, come on, I got an elevator for you. You don't have to hit every step. Man, here, I've got an elevator for you. And let me just, and the bottom line is, what God wants you to do is God wants you to develop your faith, just like the gym wants you to develop your muscles. Why? Because it's going to make you happier. It's going to get you healthier. What does your faith do? It gets you happier. It gets you healthier. It changes your expectations. Does it require some work? Heck yeah, it requires some work. Does it require discipline? That's all it requires. The bottom line this life is, how much can you sacrifice and how much discipline can you endure? Sacrifice and discipline, let me just tell you, man, they're difficult on our flesh. Our flesh doesn't want any sacrifice. Our flesh doesn't want any discipline. But let me tell you, this Christian life, that's all it is. You know, if you really thought through your decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, you probably won't do it. People are doing that all over the place. People are watching podcasts, man. They're listening to the internet. They're and you know what? It's like a gym membership. It's like, you know what? We're gonna make it easy on you. We're gonna give you your first 500 months free. Oh, I'll do it. Man, they're making it easy on me, man. This isn't easy. Man, his word is easy, but this life, man, it's gonna be difficult. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them from them all. But then you know what? God gives us moments. I believe today is one of those moments. Man, this is a moment for you. This is a sudden change for you. Why? Because, man, the word says, but from now on, we press into God. From now on, man, we cut the ties to the past. If you ask me, what is my key? What's the key for me to be where I am from where I was in 1979? Man, we cut everything off. I cut off everything in my past, all my friends, all my acquaintances, all my habits, all my vices, everything in my life. You know what? It started new. And I'm telling you, it wasn't my plan. It was God's plan for my life. God's plan is to start things new. Man, you look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Man, you think about the storms that are in our life, the conflicts that we have in our lives. Man, you think about it, we're expecting, and you know what we want to do? We want to entice people into this Christian life saying, man, there's just going to be a yellow brick road. We're going to skip down that yellow brick road. We're going to get to Oz. Well, you realize that's all deception. An elevated life requires, listen, an uphill climb. It's going to be uphill. Air's going to get thinner. It's going to be uphill. Gravity's going to fight against you. Natural law is going to fight against you. But what are you going to do, man? You're going to keep climbing. Man, we're going to keep stepping. It's an uphill climb. But let me just tell you, man, we take people with us. Man, what is our objective in life? Is to populate heaven. How do we do that? It requires personal sacrifice. It requires discipline in our life. But from now on, man, we're not gonna allow the enemy to throw shade on or to bring convoluted. No, it's vision. Man, that's what God gives us, clear vision. What do we have to have? We've got to have intense focus in that vision. Why? Because there's so many distractions. Man, you think about it. There's going to be 8 or 10 distractions in your life just while you're sitting this message. Man, it's going to be distraction after distraction. But listen to me today. This word, God's word, is going to liberate you from your oppressor. You're going to be able to beat your enemies today. You're going to be able to lap your enemies today. You're gonna look at your life in a whole different way. It's 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. How many of you guys are thankful for God's word in here today? No, let me hear you. You're thankful for God's word. I'm going to give you one more time. How many of you guys are thankful for God's word? It's life to those who find it. It's health to all their flesh. Man, all the news, all the bad news, all the crap we get this. It's just shoveling it at us. Guess what? Man, God's our morning star. Man, the sweetness of our life comes from God's word. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on. Everybody say that. From now on. That's the initial step of discipleship right there. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him. Even though we have, yet now we don't. We don't know him according to the flesh, but by the Spirit now. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Man, some of you guys right now, there's a transition happening in your life right now where everything's becoming brand new. Why? That's God's will. God's will for our life is for our life to be brand new. Now, and let me tell you, there's no verse or chapter breaks. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. It's the second one. So 17 and 18, there's no split. They're not standalone verses. They go together. Matter of fact, if I'd have split up these verses, I'd have made verse 18. I'd have done it at the comma. I wouldn't have done it at the beginning of the verse. To me, it's therefore now that we become new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you know what? It's been one common theme. Now all things are of God. In your life now all things are of God. Man, your life is about God now. God is about your life now. There's no line of delineation. There's no man's land in your life anymore. There's no borders. There's no departmentalizing your life, man. He's Lord of all now. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And now listen, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Man, if you're looking back, if your life is in your past, let me tell you, there's not going to be that ministry. There's a ministry of reconciliation that God's giving you. And you know what that is? It's sudden change. That's what I'd subtitle these verses. If I'd have translated the Bible, if I'd have written this Bible, guess what? Sudden change would have been above verse 17 and verse 18 and verse 19. Man, think about it. Now all things are of God. Man, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of what matters. Now verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he's committed to us, listen, not just the ministry of reconciliation, but the word of reconciliation. Man, you got to make sure the words that come out of your mouth. You can't have people that you don't like and people that you hate and bitter words and envious words or strife-filled words. No, you know what? They're going to be words that reconcile. You husbands in here, man, a reconciling word to your wife, a validating word, a word that values her, above anything that she's ever heard. That's how this works. We're reconciled to a ministry of reconciliation. We're not reconciled just to escape hell. We're reconciled to this ministry. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, be reconciled. And we implore you, be reconciled unto God. Man, we're begging you, we're pleading with you. Man, verse 20 is it's our life's mission. We're ambassadors for Christ. And let me just tell you, that authority is illustrated, it's exhibited. It's not just spoken. It's not explained. Here, let me explain the authority I walk in. You can't do that. Man, you know what it is? It's exhibited. You walk in authority. It's gotta be who you are. It's gotta be what you do. It's gotta be a standard that's in your life. Are you listening to me? Because let me tell you something. Man, fear comes into our life unless we walk in authority. We've gotta have that authority in our life. Raising our voice doesn't proclaim authority. Shouting at the devil doesn't proclaim authority. Let me tell you what he'll say back to you. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who the heck are you? This word of Jesus that Paul preaches, man, we take authority. It's Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? See, we've got to understand that the kingdom is a mindset. Sub-level life, kingdom living is a mindset. The kingdom's a mindset. It's all in our mindset. For me, it's real easy. It's five simple words. You can pick your own words. You can take these if you want. Number one is honor. Man, we honor people. They don't have to earn our respect. We honor them. Why? Because we're honorable. Number two is authority. We walk in authority. Man, the words, Jesus said this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given me, therefore go. And you know what he said? Make disciples of all nations, of all races, of all cultures, of all creeds. Man, no matter what their religious background is, no matter what their track record is, no matter what their, how many times they've been in prison, that doesn't matter. Do you understand? It's a church's job to transition people out of prison. Dang it, you're not listening to me. It's our job to transition people that are incarcerated right now. Why are they there? Most of them are there because of drugs. Probably all of them are there because of daddy issues. So you know what we are, what are they doing? They're medicating themselves. So what do? They steal, they rob, they kill, they whatever it is. And what is it? It's all drug induced. So now that we can transition, man, the prisons and government can't transition people out of that. The church has to. We're doing it every day. We're transitioning people out of the mindset of incarceration into a mindset of liberty. Do you understand? Greater is he who lives in you than he who lives in the world. See, we've got to understand that. Man, we've got to be that people that opens up our arms and says, man, come on. Man, you're divorced, come on in. You've never had a daddy, we can help you. Man, you've had a poor dad, you've had a poor upbringing, hey, great. Man, go apply for the internship. Man, we're going to help you. Help you what? It's going to help you make the sacrifice, that sacrificial life, a living sacrifice is what God called us to be. Yeah, you know what? We may miss that movie. We may not be able to go to that concert. We may not be able to have the little frills that the world's trying to get. We may not have all the followers. We may not have all the likes. There's going to be some haters. You know, just a simple word that I preach, that God's the healer. Everywhere, everybody, all the time. People hate that. There's haters that there's forgiveness no matter what. But you know what? That's all the word says. What Jesus did is he went about doing good and healing all. And you know what? He had haters. There's honor. There's authority. Number three is love. Everything's based on this. The love of God is unconditional. Everything else has conditions. But his love's unconditional. I saw a couple guys Friday morning. I was out in the parking lot of Friday Groceries. And you guys that serve at Friday Groceries, can I just tell you, thank you very, very much. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you. I'm just telling you, you guys that are serving at Friday Groceries, I was out in the parking lot with Chucky and Brett, and you know, I saw these two guys walking up from the expressway. Both of them didn't have shirts on. They had boots and pants that were way too big for them. They had them cinched up and they're walking up and they didn't have any shirts on. I thought, okay, this could be a little dilemma. I was wishing I had an undershirt and another shirt. I'd have given them my shirt, but I just had a shirt on. So then I'd be bare chested. And I saw these two bare chested guys walking down the sidewalk of our church, going to Friday groceries. It's about 20 after 10. They were already missing the church service. And I see one of them reach into a paper bag that he had, and he had a wadded up shirt on it. He began to put that shirt on, and he looked at the fella he's walking with, and he pulled out a knotted shirt, a shirt that was tied in a knot. Handed him that knotted shirt, and the guy unknotted it, and he put that shirt on, and those guys walked into the Friday groceries, and they got two bags of groceries apiece. Hopefully ran into some Christians, got some love out of the deal. And then I saw him walking back down that sidewalk. I said, hey, thanks for coming. They said, hey, thanks for all you do. And I'm thinking, we don't do enough. Where are they going? There's no refrigerator where they're going. They're probably going under the bridge. They're probably going over to the viaduct to sit there and sort through their food and figure out their next step. What if we had somebody under that viaduct helping them plan that next step? What if we had I don't know how we set up a refrigerator under that viaduct. Number four is faith or trust. And number five is tempo. All of us get the first four in the promise of God. But number five is a decision that we make. I'm going to turn the heat up in my life a little bit. I'm going to out-hustle. I'm going to raise the tempo. Tempo is where the work is. Many times, the word that we resist is the word that sets us free. And that's in my life, and that's in other people's lives. I know there's a resistance to this sudden change, to this new creation in Christ. And for Paul continues to write, and he says, for he made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Because of the work of the cross, we can have the righteousness of God. We can have the power of God active and prominent in our lives. You know, we as a family, just the Shears, we've gone through hell. I'm just telling you, we've been through it. It's been difficult. It may not be daily difficult, but it sure feels like that. But let me tell you, we've been through it. We are through it. Man, somehow God figured this out to keep Shear on track. He's going to make me get up, and my job is going to be to preach the word. I get to do it a dozen times a week. You know, there's a lot of times I'm in the word because I need a sermon, man. I need a message. Today isn't that. Today, you kind of just got caught in the crossfire. Today, this prep was for me. It's just kind of spilling out to you. But God has a plan for our lives to keep the dream alive, to keep us safe, to have margins in our life and boundaries. And I thank God the decisions that I made. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah, I can back it up in the word, and other people can do it though, but I'm not. You know, Paul said there's things that are lawful but not expedient. And if I were you, I'd ask God for revelation to that verse. Yeah, we could do it, but it's not really good for us. We could do it, but we've got little ones that are following us. Would it be good for them to do? And there's too many things as a parent. There's too many things as a pastor. This pastoring and parenting are identical. There's too many things as a parent that we could say, yeah, I could do it, but you can't. No, you know what? If you can't, I'm not gonna. I don't want them on that edge. I don't want them on that border. You know why wolves are so dangerous in a church is because they'll push the boundaries. They'll walk the edges. Sheep won't. But wolves in sheep's clothing, with that little bell on them, you know what? They'll pull those sheep over to those edges, and that's where they become a prey to the beast of the field and the beast of the wilderness. That's why when we're searching after people, we're searching the edges. Man, the edges. Why? That's where the wolves travel. That's where the wolves devour them. Man, don't send your life over to the edges. If you've got a son or you've got a daughter that's a young adult, and man, make sure you've got them in church. You go, well, I can't make them come to church. Yes, you can. You know, a lot of times with moms and dads, man, you just develop that look. You just give them that look. It's like, okay, I'm going to get in the car and go, Mom. Don't give me that look anymore. I want to run and hide when you give me that look. But that's authority. See, we've got to understand that place. You know, you were once, I was estranged from God to the point where I hated that. I hated thinking about the sacrifice. I hated thinking about the disciplines. But God still loved me. Man, God's love kept drawing me to him. And he delivered us and he reconciled us. And here's the bottom line. God did it all. He did it all. What do? We just comply. We just say, okay. Think of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. A bright light knocks him down. And he's laying on that path like this. And he's laying there. And he's like, okay. Don't hit me anymore. And then he said this. He said, what do you want me to do? Just tell me what to do. See, that's the way our life is now. Why do you need church? Man, we need to know what to do. Oh, I got this down. I've got this. And you know what? I went through a phase of this in my life. Man, I'm pastoring a church and the church is growing. Man, lives are being changed. And things start popping up. And you know what? I start saying, I start speaking the word without needing God. God, I know the word. God, I got this down. Hey, God, I got this one. No. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Man, when I'm knocking the big, I'm keeping the big foxes away from the fruit, and I'm thinking, man, I got this going on. God, I got this. Go help those other guys that don't have it going on as much as I do. You know what happens? Those little foxes sneak in, and they start gnawing at the stalk of that vine. Man, the big foxes come in and steal the fruit. The little foxes kill the vines. So it's like those little foxes, God, I need your help. God, help me. God, help me with the little foxes. Help me with the little stuff. The little stuff matters with Sandy. The little stuff matters with my kids. Man, I heard Taylor say, man, I grew up in that old Ford pickup truck. He said, what I realized is that's where the church was built. Man, we'd be driving on the street, we'd see an empty building, and I'd say, man, that looks like a great church. Because it's much better than the building we had. We drove by this building on the expressway 100 times, and I'd put my thumb up like this, and I'd say, that looks like a great church, doesn't it? Man, we could change the world from there. And next thing you know, we are. See, that's how God does this. He uses things in our life to keep the dream alive. But what we've got to have is sudden change. We can't dream on defense. Man, if you're playing defense, what are you dreaming of? That sack strip. You're dreaming of jumping that route and picking that ball. You're dreaming of causing a fumble and recovering that fumble. But then you know what? Once you got the ball, what are you dreaming of? You're dreaming of scoring. You're dreaming of taking that thing in for six. It shifts your dream. God keeps your dream alive. Man, how about sudden change right here and right now, today, in everyone's life? Wholesale sudden change. And let me just help you. That's God's will. God's will for you to be in control of your life, for you to be able to take a shot, for you to be able to take a risk. That's God's will. It's time for the church to take some risks. It's time for the church to take a shot. And I'm not just talking about the hierarchy of the church, the guy behind closed doors that have got the organizational chart, that are making decisions for everybody. God's given you that decision-making power in your life. In Ephesians 4, Paul wrote and said, God's given gifts unto men, first apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Listen, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. So here are the two questions I'm going to close with, and the same questions as last week. Who's discipling you? If somebody's discipling you saying, oh, you can take a day off. Oh, you can take a week off. Oh, you can let your guard down. It isn't that big a deal. Let me just tell you something. It's a really big deal when you got babes in Christ and no one here to take care of them. And let me just tell you, that taking care of them doesn't happen from this platform. It happens at those seats. It happens in those aisles. It happens at the people praying for people. It happens on the front porch. It happens in the parking lot. It happens when people are checking their kids in. I'll tell you, some of you parents in here that are visiting, I got good news and bad news. The good news is who's ever taken care of your children right now are sweeping them off their feet. That's the good news and the bad news. Because let me tell you something. You don't stick. You don't lock in a year or 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. When that storm hits and you don't have the right people in your boat and your kids are saying, Daddy, why did we ever leave that church? Remember how great they treated me so well. They valued me. I felt so validated. And you know what? Your five-year-old may not be able to say that. But notice, Dustin didn't get up here and tell the story of the rich young ruler with his kids. He told the story of the tithe with his kids. You don't want to be that rich young ruler. You want to be that tither. The rich young ruler met with Jesus and left disappointed. Left with his heart hurt. All Jesus said was, man, you got to lose that identity that you're rich and gain the identity that I have. Jesus had it all. But he became poor for us. Jesus had it all and walked in no pride. Total humility.